Welcome to day 227 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, and I'm so happy to have you join me again today for our reading through the scriptures. This week we are reading from the New American Standard Bible, and today's reading will cover Jeremiah chapter 30 and 31. And we will hear in the words of these passages beautiful promises of the restoration of Israel and also of a promise of a new covenant. And that covenant we know is in Christ Jesus, but it's prophesied here in Jeremiah chapter 31. So listen carefully as we hear some great words of encouragement and restoration from the Lord for the people of Israel, beginning at Jeremiah 30 and starting at verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, write all the words which I have spoken to you in a book. For behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will restore the fortunes of my people Israel and Judah. The Lord says, I will also bring them back to the land that I gave to their forefathers, and they shall possess it. Now these are the words which the Lord spoke concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus says the Lord, I have heard a sound of terror, of dread, and there is no peace. Ask now and see if a male can give birth. Why do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in childbirth? And why have all the faces turned pale? Alas, for that day is great. There is none like it, and it is the time of Jacob's distress, but he will be saved from it. It shall come about on that day, declares the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off their necks and will tear off their bonds, and strangers will no longer make them their slaves, but they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, declares the Lord, and do not be dismayed, O Israel, for behold, I will save you from afar, and your offspring from the land of their captivity. And Jacob will return and will be quiet and at ease, and no one will make him afraid. For I am with you, declares the Lord, to save you. For I will destroy completely all the nations where I have scattered you. Only I will not destroy you completely, but I will chasten you justly and will by no means leave you unpunished. For thus says the Lord, your wound is incurable and your injury is serious. There is no one to plead your cause, no healing for your sore, no recovery for you. All your lovers have forgotten you. They do not seek you. For I have wounded you with the wound of an enemy, with the punishment of a cruel one, because your iniquity is great and your sins are numerous. Why do you cry out over your injury? Your pain is incurable. Because your iniquity is great and your sins are numerous, I have done these things to you. Therefore, all who devour you will be devoured, and all your adversaries, every one of them, will go into captivity, and those who plunder you will be for plunder, and all who prey upon you I will give for prey. For I will restore you to health, and I will heal you of your wounds, declares the Lord. Because they have called you an outcast, saying, it is Zion, no one cares for her. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will restore the fortunes of the tents of Jacob, and have compassion on his dwelling places, and the city will be rebuilt on its ruin, and the palace will stand on its rightful place. From them will proceed thanksgiving and the voice of those who celebrate. And I will multiply them, and they will not be diminished. I will also honor them, and they will not be insignificant. Their children also will be as formerly, and their congregation shall be established before me. And I will punish all their oppressors, Their leader shall be one of them, and their ruler shall come forth from their midst. And I will bring him near, and he shall approach me. For who would dare to risk his life to approach me, declares the Lord. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. Behold the tempest of the Lord. Wrath has gone forth, a sweeping tempest. It will burst on the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has performed and until he has accomplished the intent of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand this. Chapter 31. At that time, declares the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. Israel, when it went to find its rest, the Lord appeared to him from afar, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness. Again, I will build you, and you will be rebuilt, O Virgin of Israel. Again, you will take up your tambourines and go forth to the dances of the merrymakers. Again, you will plant vineyards on the hills of Samaria. The planters will plant and will enjoy them. For there will be a day when watchmen on the hills of Ephraim call out, Arise, and let us go up to Zion to the Lord our God. For thus says the Lord, Sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I am bringing them from the north country, and I will gather them from the remote parts of the earth. Among them, the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and she who is in labor with child together, a great company, they will return here. With weeping they will come, and by supplication I will lead them. I will make them walk by streams of water on a straight path in which they will not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare in the coastlands afar off, and say, He who scattered Israel will gather him, and keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob, and redeemed him from the hand of the one who was stronger than he. They will come and shout for joy on the height of Zion, and they will be radiant over the bounty of the Lord, over the grain and the new wine and the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd, and their life will be like a watered garden, and they will never languish again. Then the virgin will rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them and give them joy for their sorrow. I will fill the soul of the priests with abundance, and my people will be satisfied with my goodness, declares the Lord. Thus says the Lord, a voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are no more. Thus says the Lord, restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work will be rewarded, declares the Lord, and they will return from the land of the enemy. There is hope for your future, declares the Lord, and your children will return to their own territory. I have surely heard Ephraim grieving. You have chastised me, and I was chastised like an untrained calf. Bring me back that I may be restored, for you are the Lord my God. For after I turned back, I repented, and after I was instructed, I smote on my thigh. I was ashamed and also humiliated because I bore the reproach of my youth. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a delightful child? Indeed, as often as I have spoken against him, I certainly still remember him. Therefore, my heart yearns for him. I will surely have mercy on him, declares the Lord. Set up for yourselves road marks. Place for yourself guideposts. Direct your mind to the highway, the way by which you went. Return, O Virgin of Israel, return to these your cities. How long will you go here and there, O faithless daughter? For the Lord has created a new thing in the earth. A woman will encompass a man. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Once again they will speak this word in the land of Judah and in its cities when I restore their fortunes. The Lord bless you, O abode of righteousness, O holy hill. Judah and all its cities will dwell together in it, the farmer and they who go about with the flocks. For I satisfy the weary ones and refresh everyone who languishes. At this I awoke and looked, and my sleep was pleasant to me. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beast. As I have watched over them to pluck up, to break down, to overthrow, to destroy, and to bring disaster, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, declares the Lord. In those days they will not say again, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. But every one will die for his own iniquity. Each man who eats sour grapes, his teeth will be set on edge. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for light by day, and the fixed order of the moon and the stars for light by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If this fixed order departs from before me, declares the Lord, then the offspring of Israel also will cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus says the Lord, if the heavens above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out below, then I will also cast off all the offspring of Israel for all that they have done, declares the Lord. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when the city will be rebuilt for the Lord, from the tower of Hananel to the corner gate. The measuring line will go out farther, straight ahead to the hill Gareb, then it will turn to Goah. And the whole valley of the dead bodies and of the ashes, and all the fields as far as the brook Kidron, to the corner of the horse gate toward the east, shall be holy to the Lord. It will not be plucked up or overthrown any more forever. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's devotional, I want to focus on the reference that we heard to a new covenant that was mentioned in Jeremiah 31:31. It said, Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now today, I want to focus on this new covenant that's mentioned here. First of all, in order to understand what is being referred to, we have to look at the old covenant that God was talking about. He said it wouldn't be like the covenant which he had made when he took them out of Egypt, this covenant which they had broken. Let's take a look at that to begin with. The covenant which was made with the people of Israel on Mount Sinai with Moses was a covenant that was an agreement or a promise between two parties, which is what a covenant is. And the two parties were God and the people of Israel. And the covenant that they made was predicated upon their obedience to the laws which God gave them. We know that Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments written on tablets of stone. And so this reference here in Jeremiah was that God was not going to write the covenant on stone anymore. It was going to be written on their hearts. So this was a different kind of a covenant. And it's the new covenant that Jesus talked about in the gospel when he said in Luke 22:20, "This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." So that's the covenant that we're talking about today. And it's the one that was written on the hearts of man rather than being written as laws or rules given to the people that they had to obey. Jeremiah was telling the people that the new covenant that would be coming wasn't going to be like the one that was written on those tablets of stone. It wasn't going to be 10 laws you have to follow, and if you break them, then you aren't my people anymore, which was essentially the covenant. Because the covenant was, if you hear these laws and obey them, then I will be your God and you will be my people. But God himself states here through Jeremiah that the people broke those laws almost immediately. And you know, the entire Old Testament essentially gives us this message of the impossibility of human beings to be able to please God in their own strength and ability. It basically testifies to the reality that human beings always will break God's law without God's help. Unless God helps us, we can't keep his law. Unless God changes our hearts, we can't obey him. Unless God changes us from the inside, we don't even desire to obey God. That is the truth and the revelation that we can get as we read through the Old Testament. Because no matter whether they knew the law or they didn't know the law, the people always broke God's laws. And so when they had the law, do not steal, do not kill, do not commit adultery, don't have any other gods before me, the people, even with their knowledge of those laws, even though they knew what God's commandments were never able to keep them. And in reality, the knowledge of those laws did not give them desire to obey those laws. They knew it's what would have pleased God, but they couldn't do it, and they couldn't even desire to do it. That's why when we hear these words in Jeremiah that says, this new covenant I'm going to give you isn't going to be like the old covenant that I gave to the people when they came out of the land of Egypt. Instead, God says, I'll put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. And this was the new covenant that Jesus brought to us through his death and resurrection, through the shedding of his blood. He said, here's the new covenant in my blood. And that's what would seal the covenant. But the interesting thing about this covenant is it's not dependent on man's ability to be faithful and obedient to God. Is dependent upon God's faithfulness to people and then man's willingness to accept that God did the work for us. The thing about us as human beings is, especially in the culture of the West, in the United States specifically, we always feel like we have to earn whatever we get. We have to work hard and earn it, and then we deserve this blessing or this help of God or the visitation of God. If we earned it, if we worked for it, if we proved to God we deserve it. But the truth is, we never deserve it, we can't earn it, and we will never be able to perform properly in order to deserve any good thing from the Lord. So this new covenant that was talked about here in the book of Jeremiah was speaking of a covenant that Jesus would bring so that people could become children of God, not based on their performance, which will never please the Lord, but based on God's faithfulness of sending his own son, of providing a way where the righteousness of God could be given and imparted to man, though he couldn't deserve it, he couldn't earn it, but it was truly and completely by grace. We know that society and societal laws have proven that simply enacting laws that attempt to curb the bad behavior of human beings never causes a society to change. In other words, by saying there's a law against stealing or there's a law against killing people with a gun or a knife or any other manner, the fact that those laws exist and the fact that people are aware of them and the fact that people know that that is the law of the land doesn't change a person. Only a person being changed from the inside will affect what they do on the outside. But externally given laws or rules in society that are external, they're on the outside, never change what is going on the inside of a human being. That's why God designed this new covenant where it will be an inside job, you could say. It would be a heart covenant, a covenant where God himself would write on the heart of that person. And that's this new covenant in Christ Jesus and in the relationship with the Lord. I love that when a person is born again, when that person comes and gives their life entirely to Christ and undergoes what I love to call the great exchange, where you give your life, your brokenness, your sinfulness, your inability to please God, your inability to be holy and do what's right in the sight of God, and you exchange that with Jesus and you receive Jesus's righteousness, his purity, his holiness, his goodness, his new life. We take the old life and give it to the Lord, and he exchanges and gives us new life within. And when that happens, the great exchange causes such a change of heart that suddenly your desires change. What you want to do changes. Who you want to be changes. You want to be a person that pleases God. You want to be a person that acts and behaves and does things that bless the Lord, not just please yourself. There is truly a great exchange that takes place when you're born again, and it's a heart change that takes place that is so profound. I remember when I became born again more than 34 years ago, that suddenly I had such a realization of the things that I had been doing being so displeasing to God. And my desire was suddenly to look at everything in my life and see how I could please the Lord. Literally, my desires in my heart changed when I became born again. And literally God wrote his law in my heart, because suddenly I wanted to do the things that pleased God. I wanted to do the things that fulfilled God's desires for my life. Literally God wrote his law in my heart, and it's what I wanted. He changed my wants and my desires to be like his when I made that great exchange of my old life for Jesus's new life in me. And in that was the new covenant written on my heart. And this is what was being prophesied here in the book of Jeremiah, that behold, days are coming when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers when I took them by the hand to bring them out of Egypt, my covenant which they broke. You know, this passage refers to physical Israel, so the people of Israel, the Jews. It's a word to them. It is also a word and a promise to spiritual Israel, those who would come into the family of Israel by faith, as basically children of faith through Abraham, and we would be grafted in. Those of us who are Gentiles and not Jews, we're grafted into this family of Israel, spiritual Israel, and we become part of God's family that way. And this new covenant applies both to Israel, physical Israel, and is available to them, as well as to spiritual Israel, those who would join themselves to the Lord and become spiritual Israel, those who are spiritual sons of Abraham, as the New Testament talks about it. And so it's twofold, this prophetic word here in Jeremiah 31. It speaks to you, it speaks to the people of Israel as well. God desires that all people, all of Israel, to be saved. He desires that all people on the earth will be saved, will come into relationship with the Lord, will make that great exchange so that they give their whole lives and hearts, their old life to the Lord, receiving in exchange the life of Christ in them, so that God can write His laws and His desires and His ways upon the hearts of men and women who will give their lives to Christ. This new covenant is so precious because it removes the burden of having to perform to please God. Because the truth is, we can't perform properly. We can't perform in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. We'll always fail trying to earn God's grace and favor and blessing in our own strength. But the new covenant supersedes the old covenant, and that old covenant meant they had to perform perfectly to please God. They had to fulfill every jot and tittle of the law. They had to be able to obey perfectly in order to be considered a child of God. But God made a way for all people to be able to come into relationship with Him, and it is through this new covenant where, if you are willing, God is willing to give you new life, to write His laws, His ways, His desires, His very life upon your heart. It's so precious because we just put our trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, and He exchanges all our old life, all our sin, everything that we can't do right, all that we are in our own strength, for the very life of Christ in us. And then through Him, we can do all things, the scripture tells us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God gives us His desire, His power, His ways, His love, His life, His very breath in us. And it is the most precious gift that you will ever be given in your lifetime, is to receive Christ, to receive that new covenant gift of new life, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So this beautiful passage that we find in Jeremiah 31, talking about God making a new covenant where it's written on our hearts and not on tablets of stone. It's not 10 rules to become a child of God, 10 commandments. It's, I'll write my law in your heart. I'll give you new life through Christ, and you can become my child, not because you're perfect, but because of Christ's perfect work for you. And it is the most blessed covenant promise in the entire Bible. And so I just want to encourage you today to be of good cheer You haven't done everything perfectly. That's okay. The new covenant that was written on your heart and that was purchased with the blood of Jesus gave you the forgiveness you need for every failing in your life, gave you the grace to stand and to know that it's through Christ the Lord looks at you. He doesn't look at you failed again, did you? No, he looks at you and he sees Christ in you. And that pleases God. As long as you keep your trust there and not try to please God in your own strength, you can walk in this new covenant life that is so powerful and so precious. And God will continue to write on your heart his ways, his desires, his law, and you'll be conformed into the image of Christ as you continue to walk with him. So be encouraged. We've been given a great gift in this new covenant blessing that God has given to us in Jesus. God bless you, and I pray you have a great and powerful week. And I also want to encourage you, if you would like to find some more teaching materials or encouraging messages, you can go to our website, www.hiddenwithchrist.com. And there's a lot of resources on there. They're free. You can listen to many podcasts and hear some great messages on different subjects. You can also sign up for our bi-monthly magazine called Victory Magazine, or you can read on our many website pages about our international missions work, which I believe you'll find quite interesting. But I invite you, go to www.hiddenwithchrist.com, and I believe you'll be very blessed. And I want to encourage you, tell a friend about My Everyday Bible. Encourage them to listen in and begin to build up their spiritual lives by journeying with us through the Word of God. And also go to our Facebook page, My Everyday Bible, and give us a comment or send us an email. Let us know how My Everyday Bible has been a blessing in your life. Looking forward to being with you again tomorrow. God bless.